I'd like to start by thanking the Chinese leadership for its unconditional solidarity with Palestinian liberation and continuous efforts to stop Israeli slaughter and apartheid. I'd also like to thank Li Xiuhin from the China-U.S. Solidarity Committee, who was our guide in Xinjiang last November, so we could witness for ourselves there is no slavery or oppression there. I want to dedicate this talk to my friends Terry Klug and John Catalinato, who devoted much of their youth to organizing active duty U.S. soldiers and sailors through the American Servicemen's Union. John later wrote Turning the Guns Around, a political memoir of this experience. I recommend it. And Terry devoted much of the rest of his life to regular labor union work. I knew them for their work in the resistance, which I shared. It's also good to take this opportunity to highlight the inestimably powerful contribution Malcolm X made to forging anti-imperialist consciousness among the entire U.S. population, but especially among African-American youth, which inspired the Black Panther Party, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, and many other formations, which were key factors in the development of a movement that helped stop the U.S. war against Vietnam. I was born in 1946, last century, just days after the U.S. dropped the first nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and 3 years before Chairman Mao declared in Tiananmen Square that China has stood up. Very soon, a hysteria raged in Washington, D.C. over who lost China. Almost immediately, General Douglas MacArthur launched plans to invade or bomb the new Revolutionary Republic before it could start its socialist transformation. But during the so-called Korean War, which was also specifically aimed at China, U.S. war efforts were stymied by 500,000 Chinese volunteers. General MacArthur called for nuking China, but failed to get a green light for his vicious plan. Nevertheless, U.S. hostility continued and nearly boiled over several times in the 1950s. And when the U.S. anti-communist crusade shifted elsewhere in Asia to both Vietnam and Indonesia, China was also always in its crosshairs, and China responded with anti-imperialist solidarity. China consistently and constantly wages peace through its Belt and Road Initiative and many other amazing efforts to share with its neighbors across the global South. So it has many more friends than enemies, while the U.S. constantly wages war to sustain its domination of the world. Today, as the U.S. conducts endless aggressive war plans against China, arming Taiwan and deploying special forces troops there in violation of its promise to respect the One China principle, deploying a vast armada of warships in the East and South China Seas, extending NATO to East Asia, forcing Japan to rearm while deploying nuclear submarines and missiles in South Korea, Okinawa, and the Philippines, the danger of hot war against China is greater than ever. The people of these countries have been mobilizing and protesting constantly against U.S. efforts to use them as proxies in wars against China. It's very much like the cynical way that Biden, Blinken, and Victoria Nuland contrived to overthrow a Ukrainian government that had a peaceful relationship with Russia, replacing it with a fascist cabal that is now used as a battering ram in a proxy war against Russia. The devastating cost in Ukrainian and Russian lives has been overwhelming, as has the damage to other countries the U.S. has bludgeoned into helping in this criminal enterprise, which has brought the world to the brink of World War III. The same or worse devastation looms now as U.S. aggression proceeds, with huge joint U.S.-South Korean war games using nuclear-armed fighter bombers, missiles, and nuclear submarines, and constant warship sparring in the South China Sea, in which the U.S. Navy uses Filipinos as proxies while reestablishing massively armed U.S. bases in the Philippines, just south of Taiwan and Hong Kong. The people of Japan, especially those in Okinawa, are subjected to nonstop danger and devastation resulting from U.S. military occupation. People in these countries have mobilized continuously against being used as proxies in aggressive U.S. war preparations against China. They are natural allies of the American peace movement as we plan to oppose and stop the U.S. war machine. They have a real need to appeal to the tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers and sailors who are stationed at military bases near their homes. In the Philippines, the popular mass movement was successful in the early 1990s in forcing the U.S. to withdraw from its bases on their soil. We know they want to force the U.S. out again, just as the people of Okinawa and South Korea want to end the hell of U.S. military occupation, which constantly endangers the local population with outrages that are never controlled or punished. We also know that many of the U.S. soldiers and sailors themselves are aware of the danger they face as cannon fodder or sitting ducks for U.S. war plans. We need to find ways to help these young people resist and say no to their unjust fate, just as happened back in the days of the U.S. war against Vietnam. These young people can take inspiration from the incredible courage of Aaron Bushnell, who sacrificed his own life rather than allow himself to be used for U.S.-backed genocide against the Palestinians. It's worth noting that Bushnell specifically was refusing to be part of U.S. military Air Force orders to help Israel target their murder victims from satellites and from the air, just as has happened recently in Lebanon. We also need to be aware of the growing number of U.S. government employees who have resigned rather than participate in this monstrous genocidal lie. We need to encourage more of that. Desertion, resistance, resignation, refusal. The people can decide. And we can do it. We can stop the U.S. war machine and bring peace. Thank you.